From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Tuesday, March 18th. I'm Abby Larico. The Missouri legislature has passed a major bill with impacts on utility bills.
This changes the way that utilities are allowed to charge customers for plants that they're building.
St. Louis Public Radio's Kate Grumke explores how these changes could affect power companies and the people who rely on them, coming up after this news on The Gateway. Homeowners and businesses in Rolla are continuing to clean up after a tornado touched down Friday night. STLPR's Jonathan All reports on how scores of volunteers are helping out.
10 people are in a yard in Rolla, cutting tree limbs and clearing debris to try to get a car free from the aftermath of the tornado. Clifford Foster is one of them.
This is my home and everybody's my family here, so I'd like to think they'd do the same for me if my house got hit on the other side of town, so I'm glad to help any way I can.
Across the street, Zachary Clark is waiting for his power to come back on and roof repair people to come out. But since his property is cleared up, he's turning to volunteer mode.
I said I went and bought a chainsaw yesterday, so I was like, anyone who needs the help, you know, I mean, I can get in there with my chainsaw and help clear out their stuff for them, so.
City officials say hundreds of people have volunteered since Saturday. In Rolla, I'm Jonathan All, St. Louis Public Radio.
Rolla High School junior Emma Maurer is part of a student-run volunteer effort.
It's really awesome to see everyone come out and just see them all coming out and helping, even though they could just sit at home.
The Rolla School District has canceled classes this week because of the ongoing restoration and cleanup. And that cleanup continues in St. Louis County this week. STLPR's Andrea Henderson visited a tornado-hit neighborhood in Florissant, where some residents are finding bright spots even as they pick up the pieces.
When Kate Mazinga heard the first tornado siren go off Friday, she treated it as any other storm alert. She picked up her pets and went to the basement. While the storm ripped through the area, she had no idea what was happening upstairs. When Mazinga and her partner came back up, her carport was gone and her roof was missing. Now they're in cleanup mode.
For us, it's literally just waiting on the insurance, the assessor, to tell us what's going to happen to the home. We've had so many neighbors come by, like offering food and shelter and any help, and it's been pretty amazing.
Mazinga and her partner have been in their home for 2 years. It could take up to 18 months to get it restored. I'm Andrea Henderson, St. Louis Public Radio.
The high winds that rolled in before Friday's tornado carried flames that burned through about a dozen homes in Bell Fountain Neighbors. Over 100 firefighters were deployed to contain the 4 alarm fires. Officials and emergency crews say their city has never experienced this combination of fire and wind damage. Keith Goldstein is the chief of North County Fire and Rescue. He says the fire spread quickly.
We had multiple homes that were severely damaged. We had a lot of homes that had, you know, siding melted. But, you know, once it gets up underneath the siding, I mean, we've got to do our work on the interior to get to it so that, you know, we didn't lose any more.
Goldstein says the exact cause of the fires is not determined, but they don't appear to be intentional. A St. Louis Metropolitan Police officer remains in critical condition but is expected to survive after being hit by a car yesterday morning. Chief Robert Tracy says it happened on Interstate 70 near Shreve as the officer was attempting to arrest a suspect in a Metro East carjacking. A driver in the express lanes crashed into them both and drove off. SLMPD shared an update on social media that the vehicle and a person of interest have since been located. The 31-year-old officer suffered a severe leg injury. Chief Tracy says the quick work of other officers to apply a tourniquet and rush him to the hospital likely saved his life. The suspect remained in surgery in critical condition on Monday afternoon. Missouri U.S. Senator Josh Hawley brought Environmental Protection Agency Administrator Lee Zeldin to St. Louis County yesterday. And as St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum reports, Hawley is pushing the EPA to clean up local Superfund sites.
Hawley and Zeldin spent part of Monday touring contaminated North St. Louis County sites, including the Westlake Landfill and Coldwater Creek. They also heard from residents in Bridgeton who pressed the EPA to clean up Westlake Landfill, where Manhattan Project-era radioactive waste was dumped in the 1970s. Zeldin says he's asking local EPA officials to deliver in 3 weeks a report showing the timetable to clean up Westlake Landfill.
To hear this multi-generationally, this is something that should have been addressed a very long time ago.
Holly is also pushing Congress to compensate people who became sick because of radioactive waste exposure. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Louis's food scene gets special attention this week with hundreds of chefs and food scientists in town. St. Louis Public Radio's Eric Schmid reports the annual Research Chefs Association Conference focuses on new technologies and emerging food trends.
Research chefs are the people who find ways to manufacture at large scale the tastes and flavors of different unique foods, and their annual conference is a testing ground for new flavors that could be incorporated into consumer products that eventually make it to grocery store shelves. Delaine Bender is the executive director of the Research Chefs Association.
In the expo hall, the smells, the fragrances, the variety of spices that are being introduced, it's really pretty exciting, and you're seeing in that way, what's going to be trending in flavor patterns in the future.
Bender says many attendees will also venture into St. Louis and tap into the vibrant restaurant and food scene. She says that may influence what future food products are developed. I'm Eric Schmid, St. Louis Public Radio.
All right, I'm calling it now. Provel cheese on everything by 2026. Before leaving for spring break, the Missouri legislature passed a major utility bill. It's 133 pages long and contains dozens of policies. St. Louis Public Radio's Brian Moline sat down with environmental reporter Kate Grumke to learn more about what's in it.
So, Kate, this is a really big bill. What are some things that are going to change here in Missouri?
So there are a few ones that have gotten a lot of attention from advocacy groups and from the utilities that advocated for the bill. One is called Construction Work in Progress. This changes the way that utilities are allowed to charge customers for plants that they're building. So it basically makes it so that they can start to charge consumers for those plants as they're being built, as they're in construction, instead of at the end going and saying, hey, we spent this much money, we need to raise rates. Another big change is something called future test year. Now, this is not for electric utilities. This is for gas and water. But basically, the utilities will be able to look into the future and base their rates on a future test year, a year that they are thinking of, that they are imagining, rather than a year that's already happened. And then there's another big change around replacing power plants. So this creates a rule that if you're going to close a power plant, you have to replace it with a similarly sized power plant that is dispatchable energy. And there's some argument over what dispatchable means. So the Ameren representative who I spoke with said that this could include solar and wind in battery form. So it could be renewable energy potentially. But some of the environmental advocates I spoke with are reading it as this basically means natural gas.
Speaking of those environmental and consumer advocates, what are they saying about this bill?
There's a lot of opposition to this bill. So Consumers Council of Missouri estimates that this bill is going to cost the average household more than $1,000 a year once it's really up and running. And the environmental side of things, they're also opposed to this bill, but for different reasons. They think that this bill really disproportionately favors fossil fuels, things like natural gas, which do contribute to climate change when they're burned.
You mentioned the extra cost to utility customers. Are there some policies in here that could help customers?
Yeah, so there's actually a lot in this bill that's targeted to consumers and customers. There is more funding for the Office of Public Counsel, which is an office that advocates for the public, to Missouri's Public Service Commission, which is the regulators who oversee monopoly utilities in the state. So there's more funding for that office, which consumer advocates were excited about. There's also some changes around when utilities are able to shut off someone's power when it's especially hot or cold. And that basically expands the window from 1 day to 3 days. And then there's also the possibility that utilities could put in special rates for customers who are especially burdened in paying their utilities. So their utilities are a high percent of their income.
Of course, you said this bill passed. How popular was it in the legislature?
Yeah, so it passed 96-44. And something really interesting about that that our legislative reporters pointed out to me was that usually when a bill passes, it's like all red on the Democrat side, all green on the Republican side or something like that in the Missouri legislature. And this one was really across the board kind of random looking. So if you look at the chart of where the people sit and how they voted, there's some red on the Republican side and some green. There's some red and some green on the Democrat side. So it was kind of a it was a pretty nonpartisan vote.
And this bill has passed. So what happens next?
So now it heads to Governor Mike Kehoe for signature. And most of the people I'm talking to think that it's likely to be signed into law, but that could always change, of course. But he is the final step in the process.
Kate Grumke is our environmental reporter here at St. Louis Public Radio. Kate, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Speaking there with editor Brian Moline, Kate wrote up an article with even more explanation of some of the bill's major policies. You can read that at stlpr.org. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Theme music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.